A top lawmaker flabbergasted about the fiscal cliff.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. The Obama administration and congressional Republicans continue to challenge each other as the fiscal cliff deadline nears. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner says Republicans need to make a serious counteroffer.
They have to tell us what they're willing to do on rates and revenues. That's going to be very hard for Republicans. We understand that, but there's no way through this without that.
House Speaker John Boehner says the White House proposal of tax hikes and spending cuts is a non-starter. Boehner describes how he reacted when he heard Geithner's proposal.
I was just flabbergasted. I looked at him and said, you can't be serious.
Both spoke on Fox News Sunday. Fiscal cliff tax questions are why many companies are shoveling money out the door before year's end in the form of special dividends to shareholders. Bulk retailer Costco is among them. Joining me to talk about this is Fortune Magazine Senior Editor-at-Large Alan Sloan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Mark.
Great to have you here. Now, sometimes you hear about these special dividends, and it doesn't sound like a lot when they just say $7 per share. But this is what Costco did. And when you add that up, though, over all the share, this is a $3 billion payment. So just take us inside the mindset of these companies as they're putting out these big payouts and moving forward on that. Why is that?
Okay. You've got Costco. They're borrowing $3.5 billion, the company, at very low interest rates in order to pay $3 billion to their shareholders, who includes the founding family, because the shareholders would rather pay 15% tax on their dividends to Uncle Sam than whatever the rate will be next year, which nobody knows, but is likely to be substantially higher.
The companies are doing this. They're saying it's for the shareholders. But as you point out, many of the people who run and own these companies, they're getting a great personal benefit by doing this. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, sure. But they're shareholders. And the game is, if the shareholders can pay less, they'll pay less. And later down the road, they'll pay more. It's not significant in economic terms. And it's going to probably mess up 2 years of dividend statistics. But unless you happen to be a dividend techie, I don't think you're going to care very much.
How are we going to see the behavior of these companies change once there is some certainty where there is uncertainty now?
It's going to depend on whether the tax on dividends is the same or almost the same as the tax on capital gains. If dividend taxes are considerably higher going forward, well, what's going to happen is companies will pay out less in dividends than they otherwise would. And we'll spend more money buying back stock and what they call returning cash to taxpayers in ways that are taxed as capital gains. Think of it as stimulus for the accounting business.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large of Fortune. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Mark.
A new report out today says 6.5 million young Americans are disconnected, meaning out of school with no job. Marketplace's David Gura reports from Washington on what this means and what's being done to change it.
Patrick McCarthy heads the Annie E. Casey Foundation, which prepared the report. He says the number of entry-level jobs has shrunk over the last two decades, and if young people drop out of school, it hurts their chances of getting a job even more.
The disconnected youth are at very high risk of being poor, very high risk at not having the skills they need to connect to the workforce.
Despite the size of the population, Stacy Stewart, the president of United Way, says it's not too late to do something. A solution, she says, is more collaboration between business, government, and nonprofits like hers.
Just because young people are disconnected from school and employment right now does not mean we can't provide opportunities for them to get back on track.
Jovan Howard grew up in Baltimore in the city's foster care system, and he says he easily could have become disconnected if he didn't give school a second chance.
I didn't really realize that school was a big factor of my life until, I want to say, the 10th grade, where I realized that I can end up being somebody.
Howard graduated, he went to college, and now he has a job. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are a mixed bag in global trading. European markets are up this morning on positive manufacturing news. Shares rose slightly in Japan but sunk elsewhere in Asia. Friday on Wall Street, the Dow was up just a tad, 0.03% to be precise. It closed at 13,025.
get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Merry Christmas. Not an unusual greeting during the holiday season, but 20 years ago today, it was historic. Those two words were the first text message to reach a mobile phone. Last year, an estimated 8 trillion text messages went out. Stacey Vanek Smith reports on how the medium has grown.
Text messages have been around for 20 years, but mobile consultant Chetan Sharma says they really took off in
2003, the second season of American Idol, when they participated with AT&T to do a campaign for voting.
7.5 million people texted their votes to American Idol. Now texting generates $20 billion a year for U.S. telecom companies.
Especially for younger people, text messaging really is the de facto mode of communication.
Alexandra Smith with market research firm Mintel says texting is cheap, efficient, and makes certain social interactions a little easier.
For example, texting someone to ask them out on a date. That might be a little bit less nerve-wracking than calling them to ask them out on a date.
Still, texting is starting to get the brush off, says consultant Chetan Sharma. The number of messages sent by Americans declined for the first time last quarter, and texting revenues fell.
And now they're moving on to other forms of messaging.
Namely, instant messaging, offered by the likes of Apple and Facebook. Texting, only 20 and already over the hill. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, fine art at a Milwaukee Goodwill. A woman's $12 purchase there turned out to be a print by Alexander Calder. It's worth $9,000. The buyer plans to keep it. Until she realized what she had, she thought the best find of the shopping trip was a nice set of kitchen knives. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.